Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're going to be diving into patents.
Patents.
You know, all those exciting innovations happening in biotech.
Biotech, yeah.
And we've got some really great source material for this deep dive.
Cool.
We've got articles on Google patents.
Mm-hmm.
We've got stuff on intellectual property for the life sciences.
Nice.
And a really cool blog post about the basics of life science patents.
Awesome.
So are you ready to explore the legal side of biotech?
Absolutely. It's fascinating how, like, a legal document can really be the key to protecting a groundbreaking scientific discovery.
Right.
So let's just imagine for a second that you're working on this amazing new therapy for a disease, or maybe even a revolutionary diagnostic tool.
Uh-huh.
You know, you've poured your heart and soul into this research, and now you want to make sure that your hard work is recognized and protected.
Yeah.
That's got to be important.
That's where patents come in, right?
That is exactly where patents come in.
Yeah. For those of us who might not be totally familiar with the legal jargon, can we break down exactly what a patent is?
So a patent is essentially a legal agreement between you, the inventor, and society as a whole.
Okay.
And basically, you share the secrets of your invention with the world, like all the details, the how-tos, the nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
And in exchange, you're granted exclusive rights to that invention for a limited time.
Okay.
Usually around 20 years.
So it's like a trade-off.
Yeah.
You share your knowledge
and
society grants you like a temporary monopoly on your invention.
Yeah.
That exclusivity gives you the space to develop it.
Right.
Bring it to market.
Mm-hmm.
And potentially, you know, reap the rewards of your work.
Exactly. And, you know, within the world of biotech, there are three main types of patents that come into play.
Ooh,
we've got utility patents, design patents, and plant patents. But the vast majority of patents that we see in the life sciences fall under this category of utility patents, which protect the functional aspects of an invention.
So let's focus on those utility patents for a sec.
Right.
What are some common examples that we see in the biotech space?
Well, one of the most common is a composition of matter patent.
Okay.
And this type of patent protects the fundamental building blocks of your invention.
Mm-hmm.
Think about, you know, a specific molecule or a unique protein.
Right.
Or any new composition that makes your discovery stand out.
So if you create a brand new protein with therapeutic potential,
mm-hmm.
a composition of matter patent would be your go-to to protect that.
Absolutely. Then we have process patents.
Process patents.
And these are all about protecting the methods and procedures involved in creating or using your invention.
Mm-hmm.
So this could be a new way to manufacture a drug, a new gene editing technique, or any unique process that sets your invention apart.
So if you come up with a completely new way to grow cells in the lab.
Exactly.
Or a more efficient way to synthesize a particular molecule.
Right.
That's when a process patent would be crucial.
Absolutely. And finally, we have formulation patents.
Formulation patents.
And these protect the final form that your invention takes.
Right.
Like a specific drug formulation.
Okay.
And that's the combination of the active ingredients and the other components that make up the final product.
So it's not just about protecting the active ingredient itself.
Right.
But also the specific way that it's delivered to patients in a safe and effective way.
Exactly. That's where formulation patents come in.
Okay. So we've got a handle on the different types of patents that are relevant to biotech.
Yeah.
But why are patents so incredibly important in this field in particular?
Well, developing a new drug or therapy is a massive undertaking. And we're not just talking about the scientific challenges here. Think about the sheer amount of time, money, and resources that go into bringing a new medical innovation to market.
Mm.
It can take years, even decades,
and
millions, even billions of dollars.
It's a huge investment. Yeah. I imagine companies and researchers need some assurance that their investment is going to be protected.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's where patents come in.
Right.
They provide a way to safeguard that investment and incentivize innovation.
Uh-huh.
Without patents, companies might be hesitant to take on the risk of developing new treatments, especially for rare diseases or conditions that are difficult to treat.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
If someone could just copy your invention
and
profit from it
right.
without any recognition of your work,
exactly.
why would anyone take on that level of risk and financial burden?
Exactly.
Patents level the playing field and encourage groundbreaking research by ensuring that innovators can reap the benefits of their hard work.
Absolutely. And there have been some key moments in history that have really shaped how patents function in the biotech industry.
Mm-hmm.
One of those game changers was the Bayh-Dole Act of 1980.
Okay, so let's take a quick trip back in time and explore that.
Yeah.
What exactly did the Bayh-Dole Act change?
So before this act,
mm-hmm.
if a university or small business developed an invention using federal funding, the U.S. government essentially owned the rights to that invention.
Oh, wow.
Imagine all those brilliant minds in universities churning out incredible discoveries, but those discoveries were basically locked away in government vaults.
That doesn't sound very conducive to innovation.
Exactly. The Bayh-Dole Act flipped the script.
Okay.
It allowed universities and small businesses to retain ownership of inventions developed with federal funding.
Wow.
Huge win for academic research and the growth of biotech startups.
So thanks to Bayh-Dole,
if
you're a researcher at a university and your groundbreaking work is funded by the government, you could actually own the patent for your invention.
That's right. It was a pivotal moment
that
fueled the growth of the biotech industry.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And this really highlights how closely intertwined patent law is with the progress of scientific innovation.
Absolutely.
Especially in biotech.
Yeah.
But I know patent law isn't always straightforward.
Right.
There are nuances.
Yeah.
Challenges. And sometimes even controversies, right?
Absolutely. The patent system, while crucial for fostering innovation, definitely has its quirks and limitations.
Yeah.
One of the fundamental requirements for obtaining a patent is novelty.
Novelty.
Your invention has to be genuinely new and not publicly available before you file your application.
So it's like a race to the patent office.
In a way, yes. Whoever gets there first.
With a truly novel invention gets the prize.
But it's not just about being new.
Okay.
Your invention also has to pass the non-obviousness test.
Non-obviousness.
Which can be a bit trickier. It means your invention can't just be like a simple, predictable tweak to something that already exists.
Okay.
It has to represent a significant step forward in the field.
Okay. So let's say I'm working on a new drug.
Right.
That's very similar to an existing one.
Mm-hmm.
But with a slight modification that makes it more effective.
Okay.
Would that be considered non-obvious enough to be patentable?
That's a great question, and that's where things can get a bit blurry.
Right.
The non-obviousness requirement often involves expert opinions and legal interpretations.
Yeah.
And it can be a point of contention in patent disputes.
It sounds like navigating the patent system requires not only scientific brilliance, but also a solid understanding of the legal landscape.
Definitely. And to illustrate just how complex patent law can be, let's dive into a fascinating example.
Right.
Genetically modified organisms.
Okay, GMOs.
Well,
those always spark interesting conversations.
They do.
What's the patent perspective on those?
Well, you can't patent a naturally occurring organism that's considered a product of nature.
Right.
But if you introduce specific genetic modifications, creating a unique organism with distinct characteristics, then you enter the realm of patentable subject matter.
So modifying an organism's genes to give it new properties or capabilities opens the door to patent protection.
Exactly. But even then, there are limits.
Okay.
In the case of Myriad Genetics and their attempt to patent the BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes.
Oh, yeah. The BRCA genes.
Yeah.
Those are the ones linked to an increased risk of breast and ovarian cancer.
That's right.
Yeah.
Myriad Genetics developed a test to detect mutations in these genes.
Okay.
And they argued that by isolating and sequencing these genes, they had created something new and patentable.
So they were trying to patent naturally occurring genes based on the argument that they had isolated and analyzed them.
Precisely. But the courts ultimately disagreed.
Okay.
They ruled that naturally occurring genes, even when isolated and sequenced, are not patentable subject matter.
Okay.
It was a landmark decision that sent shockwaves through the biotech industry.
It sounds like that case really highlighted the fine line. mm-hmm. between what's considered a product of nature
yeah.
and what's considered a patentable invention.
Exactly.
Especially when dealing with genetic material.
Absolutely. And that brings us to another crucial aspect of patents in biotech.
Okay.
What happens when researchers collaborate?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
Collaboration is at the heart of scientific progress.
It is.
But I imagine things can get complicated when yeah. intellectual property rights are involved.
You're absolutely right.
Right.
When companies, universities, or research organizations team up,
yeah.
it's essential to have clear agreements in place.
Right. Regarding intellectual property ownership.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. These agreements, often called sponsored research agreements, mm-hmm. spell out who owns the rights to any new inventions,
mm-hmm.
who has the right to commercialize them,
right.
and how any profits will be shared.
So it's like a prenuptial agreement for scientific collaboration.
Exactly.
You're laying out all the terms up front to avoid any messy disputes or misunderstandings down the road.
Absolutely. These agreements are crucial
okay.
for ensuring that everyone involved in a collaboration is on the same page
right.
and that the fruits of their joint efforts are protected and utilized appropriately.
Okay, so we've talked about patents.
Right.
Those powerful legal tools that protect biotech innovations.
Sure.
But are there any alternatives to the traditional patent route?
There is. Sometimes companies opt for the secrecy of trade secrets.
A trade secret.
Instead of the transparency of patents.
Interesting. Tell me more about that.
Right.
What exactly is a trade secret? A trade secret is any piece of information
right.
that gives a company a competitive edge
right.
and is kept confidential.
Right.
This could be a unique manufacturing process,
uh-huh.
a secret ingredient in a product, uh-huh. or even a valuable customer list.
Mm-hmm.
The key is that it's not publicly disclosed.
So instead of revealing all the details in a patent application,
exactly.
you keep your invention under wraps.
Yeah.
And rely on strict confidentiality measures to protect it.
Exactly. Think about the legendary recipe for Coca-Cola.
Right.
A closely guarded trade secret
yeah.
that has remained a mystery for over a century.
Right.
In the biotech world,
yeah.
trade secrets might involve things like specific drug formulations or the precise conditions needed to culture a certain type of cell.
Okay, so it's like choosing between two different strategies.
Yeah.
The transparency of a patent.
Right.
Where you publicly disclose your invention
mm-hmm.
in exchange for a limited monopoly.
Yep.
Or the secrecy of a trade secret. Where you keep your cards close to your chest,
mm-hmm.
but risk someone else independently discovering your invention.
Exactly. It's a fascinating dilemma.
It is.
The choice between a patent and a trade secret
right.
often depends on the nature of the invention,
mm.
the competitive landscape,
yeah.
and the company's long-term business goals.
I can see how that decision-making process would involve a lot of strategic thinking.
Absolutely. And that strategic element
right.
is what makes the world of patents and biotech so captivating.
Yeah.
It's not just about the science.
Right.
It's about navigating the legal and business aspects
yeah.
of bringing those scientific breakthroughs to the world.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground already, but before we dive even deeper,
okay.
let's take a quick break.
Right.
When we come back, we'll explore the practical steps involved
okay.
in filing a patent and uncover some helpful resources for those of you mm. who might be on the path to patenting your own biotech inventions.
Cool.
Stay tuned.
Sounds good.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Before the break, we were talking about the strategic decision mm-hmm. of choosing between patents and trade secrets
right.
to protect your biotech innovations.
Yeah.
Now, let's shift gears and explore the world of actually filing a patent.
Right.
I imagine it can seem like a really daunting process.
It can.
Especially for first-timers.
It definitely can be. The patent process has its complexities.
Yeah.
But it's a well-defined path
okay,
with
fair.
Clear steps to follow.
Yeah.
And for many biotech innovators,
right.
the first step on that journey
yeah.
is filing a provisional patent application.
Okay, a provisional patent.
Yeah.
What exactly is that? And how does it differ from a regular patent?
Think of a provisional patent as a placeholder.
Okay.
It's like staking your claim in the patent landscape,
yeah.
saying, hey, world,
yeah.
I'm working on something groundbreaking here.
Okay.
It establishes an early filing date for your invention without having to go through all the formalities
right.
of a full-blown patent application.
So it's a way to secure your priority date while you continue to refine your invention and gather more data.
And that's one of the biggest advantages of a provisional patent.
Okay.
It buys you time. Right. You have 12 months from the filing date of your provisional patent to flesh out your invention conduct, additional experiments, and solidify your claims. It's a crucial window, especially in the fast-paced world of biotech.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So during those 12 months, you're essentially fine-tuning your invention and preparing for the next stage of the patent process.
Precisely. And during that time, you'll need to decide whether to convert your provisional patent into a non-provisional patent or a PCT application.
PCT.
A non-provisional patent is specific to a single country.
Right.
Typically the United States.
Okay.
While a PCT application allows you to seek patent protection in multiple countries simultaneously.
So that's where the decision of going global with your patent comes in.
Exactly. If you're thinking big and envisioning your biotech invention making a worldwide impact, a PCT application would be the way to go.
Okay.
It's like a passport to international patent protection.
It sounds like a strategic move.
It is.
For companies looking to expand their reach and protect their intellectual property in key markets around the globe.
Absolutely. But it's important to note that a PCT application doesn't automatically grant you patents in all those countries.
Right.
Instead, it gives you the option to file individual patent applications in those countries later on with the advantage of retaining your original filing date.
So it's like reserving your spot in line in multiple countries, giving you time to assess the market and determine which countries are worth pursuing.
Right.
With full-fledged patent applications.
That's a great way to put it. It's all about strategic planning and maximizing your chances of securing patent protection in the markets that matter most to your business goals.
Okay, so let's say we've decided on our patent strategy and we're ready to dive into the actual application process.
All right.
What does a typical patent application look like?
Okay.
What are the key components we need to include?
A well-crafted patent application is like a story.
Okay.
A compelling narrative
that
unfolds the brilliance of your biotech invention.
Okay. I like the analogy of a story.
Yeah.
So how does this patent story usually begin?
We start with the background section.
Okay.
Which sets the stage by describing the problem your invention solves.
Right.
You're essentially painting a picture of the current state of the art, highlighting any shortcomings or unmet needs, and explaining why your invention is a much needed improvement.
So you're establishing the context for your invention and demonstrating that it fills a gap
in
the existing knowledge or technology.
Exactly. Then we move on to the summary section, which is a concise overview of your invention, highlighting its key features and benefits.
Right.
Think of it as the executive summary of your patent.
Okay.
A snapshot that captures the essence of your innovation.
Okay, so we've set the stage with the background.
Right.
Provided a snapshot of the invention. In the summary, what comes next?
Next up is the figures section.
Figure.
Where you visually showcase your invention.
Okay.
Through diagrams, flow charts, or even images of your prototype. These visuals are crucial for conveying complex scientific concepts and helping the patent examiner understand the workings of your invention.
It's like saying a picture is worth a thousand words.
Yeah.
But in this case, a diagram or illustration could be worth a thousand lines of text.
Exactly. Visuals can make all the difference in conveying the essence of your invention. Especially when dealing with intricate scientific concepts.
Okay, so we've got the visuals covered.
Right.
What about the actual meat of the patent application?
Okay.
The part where you describe the invention in detail.
That's where the body section comes in.
But
this is where you delve into the nitty-gritty details of your invention, describing its structure, function, how it's made, and how it's used. It's a technical deep dive requiring clear and precise language.
Right.
To leave no room for ambiguity.
So it's all about precision and clarity.
Yes.
You're laying out all the technical details in a way that's comprehensive and leaves no room for misinterpretation.
Precisely. And this section is often where your scientific expertise shines through.
Right.
You're demonstrating a deep understanding of your invention and its underlying principles.
Okay, so we've built up to the grand finale.
All right.
What's the last crucial element of a patent application?
The claims section. Claims.
Arguably the most important part of the entire application.
Wow. Okay.
This is where you define the legal boundaries of your invention.
Right.
The specific elements that you are seeking to protect.
So if the body section is all about the technical details, the claims section is all about the legal scope of your invention.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Think of the claims as fences.
Okay.
You're building around your intellectual property.
Right.
Each claim is a carefully worded statement that outlines a particular aspect of your invention that you believe is novel and worthy of patent protection.
Okay, so the claims are like the legal fortifications that protect your invention from being copied or imitated.
That's a great way to put it. And within the claims section, we have different types of claims.
Okay.
Independent claims stand on their own, outlining the broadest scope of your invention. Dependent claims, as their name suggests, depend on an earlier claim.
Adding further limitations or details to refine the scope of protection.
So it's like building a layered defense system for your invention.
Yeah.
The independent claims establish the broad boundaries.
Right.
And the dependent claims add more specific layers of protection.
That's a great analogy. And then we have multiple dependent claims.
Multiple dependent claims.
Which branch off from two or more previous claims.
Right.
Creating a web of interconnected protection that encompasses various facets of your invention.
It sounds like crafting these claims is both an art and a science.
It is.
You need both scientific knowledge and legal savvy.
Right.
To strike that perfect balance between breadth and specificity.
Absolutely. Crafting effective patent claims is a crucial skill. And it often involves working closely with patent attorneys who specialize in your field of technology.
So let's say we've poured our heart and soul into our patent application.
Okay.
Meticulously described our invention and strategically crafted our claims.
Right.
What happens next?
You submit your application to the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
All right.
The USPTO.
USPTO.
And then you wait.
The waiting game.
The waiting game.
I imagine that can be nerve-wracking for inventors.
Yeah.
Eager to secure protection for their hard work.
Absolutely.
So what happens during that waiting period?
The USPTO conducts a thorough examination.
Okay.
Of your application.
Mm-hmm.
They scour the existing body of knowledge, searching for any prior art that might challenge the novelty or non-obviousness of your invention.
So it's like your invention is going through a trial by fire, being scrutinized against everything that's already out there in the world of science and technology.
That's a great way to put it. It's a challenging process, but it's also a necessary one to maintain the integrity of the patent system.
And what happens if your invention passes this rigorous examination?
If the USPTO deems your invention novel, non-obvious, and worthy of protection, you'll be granted a patent, giving you the exclusive right to exploit your invention for a period of 20 years from the date of your earliest filing.
Right.
It's a moment of triumph.
Yeah.
The combination of years of research innovation and strategic maneuvering within the patent landscape.
It sounds like a true victory lap.
It is.
For biotech innovators who have successfully navigated the complexities of the patent process.
Right.
But I imagine obtaining a patent is just the beginning, right?
You're absolutely right. The journey doesn't end there.
Okay.
Now comes the equally important task of enforcing your patent rights.
Enforcing your rights.
This involves monitoring the market, identifying potential infringers, and taking legal action when necessary to protect your intellectual property.
So it's an ongoing process.
It is.
That requires vigilance and a deep understanding of patent law.
Exactly. Protecting your patent is just as important as obtaining it in the first place.
Okay, so we've journeyed through the intricacies of the patent application process and even touched on the importance of enforcing your patent rights.
Yep.
But before we wrap up,
okay,
I want to make sure we equip our listeners with some practical tools and resources for navigating this complex world.
All right.
Let's talk about the power of patent searches.
Okay.
And the invaluable resource that is Google Patents.
Great idea.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've been on quite a journey exploring the world of biotech patents, from understanding their different types to navigating the steps involved in filing and enforcing them. But before we wrap up, I want to emphasize the crucial role of patent searches in this whole process. Whether you're developing a new drug, a diagnostic tool, or any other biotech innovation, understanding the existing patent landscape is absolutely essential.
I couldn't agree more. Patent searches are like scouting missions in the world of intellectual property. They allow you to map out the terrain, identify potential roadblocks, and avoid those costly legal battles down the road.
It's like making sure you're not stepping on anyone's toes in the patent world.
Yeah.
I imagine it can be disheartening to pour years of research and development into a groundbreaking invention, only to discover that someone else has already patented a similar idea.
Absolutely. That's why thorough patent searches are non-negotiable in the world of biotech innovation. They help you avoid reinventing the wheel, identify potential licensing opportunities, and gain valuable insights into the latest trends and advancements in your field.
So it's not just about avoiding infringement. It's also about staying ahead of the curve and making informed decisions about your research and development strategy.
Precisely. And when it comes to patent searches, there's one resource that stands above the rest.
Okay.
Google Patents.
Google Patents.
It's a free user-friendly search engine that grants you access to a vast database of patents from around the world. You can search by keywords, inventors, assignees, and even specific patent classifications.
It's like having a global patent library at your fingertips. I remember the days of sifting through mountains of paper documents. What a game changer Google Patents has been for researchers and inventors.
It certainly has. You can delve into the details of specific patents, see who's citing them, and even uncover related patents that you might have otherwise missed. It's an incredibly powerful tool for anyone involved in biotech innovation.
Okay, so Google Patents sounds like a dream come true for anyone navigating the patent landscape. But I imagine there's still an art to conducting effective patent searches, right?
You're absolutely right. Even with the convenience and accessibility of Google Patents, conducting effective patent searches requires a certain level of skill and expertise. You need to know how to construct effective search queries, interpret the complex language of patents, and analyze the results to extract meaningful insights.
It sounds like it's not just about plugging in a few keywords and hoping for the best. You need to be strategic and methodical in your approach.
Exactly. Think of it like being a detective sifting through clues to piece together a complete picture of the patent landscape. Okay. You need to be observant, meticulous, and relentless in your pursuit of the truth.
So we've covered the why and the how of biotech patents.
We have.
But there's one more fascinating aspect I want to touch on before we wrap up.
Okay.
The intersection of patents and the rapidly evolving world of artificial intelligence.
That's a great point. As AI plays an increasingly prominent role in drug discovery, diagnostics, and other areas of biotech,
right,
it raises some really intriguing questions about the future of patent law.
It's like AI is adding a whole new dimension to the already complex world of intellectual property.
Exactly. Think about it. If an AI system develops a groundbreaking invention, who owns the patent rights?
Yeah.
The developers of the AI. The users who deployed it? Or does the AI itself have any claim to its creations?
Those are some mind-boggling questions. It's almost like we're entering uncharted territory in the realm of patent law.
We absolutely are. As AI continues to push the boundaries of innovation, patent law will need to adapt to keep pace with these technological advancements. We're already seeing debates about whether AI-generated inventions should be patentable.
Wow.
And how to define inventorship in the context of AI.
Okay.
It's a fascinating and rapidly evolving area of law.
It's like we're witnessing the birth of a new era in patent law, one that will shape the future of innovation in biotech and beyond. It's a time of both challenges and opportunities as we grapple with the implications of AI and its potential to reshape the very fabric of intellectual property.
Couldn't have said it better myself. The future of AI and patents is full of exciting possibilities.
Yeah.
But it's also crucial to have these conversations now and consider the ethical and legal frameworks that will guide us through this uncharted territory.
Well, this has been an incredible deep dive into the world of biotech patents.
It has.
We've covered so much ground, from the different types of patents to the intricacies of the application process, the importance of patent searches, and even the mind-bending implications of AI.
It's been a truly fascinating exploration, and I hope our listeners have gained a deeper appreciation for the crucial role patents play in fostering innovation and driving progress in the life sciences.
I couldn't agree more. And as we conclude this deep dive, I want to leave our listeners with a final thought-provoking question to ponder. In an era of rapid technological advancements, with AI poised to revolutionize biotech and many other fields, how will patent law need to evolve to ensure a fair and competitive landscape for innovation? It's a question that will continue to spark debate and shape the future of biotech and the world as we know it for years to come.
That's a question worth pondering for all of us. The answers will likely unfold over time as we continue to navigate the ever-evolving landscape of technology, innovation, and intellectual property.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the fascinating world of biotech patents. We hope you've enjoyed the journey as much as we have. Until next time, keep those innovative ideas flowing. And remember, in the world of biotech patents can be your passport to turning those ideas into reality.